there's a realization from all parties involved that it's harder for folks to get healthcare these days. So when you look at it from a straight patient access and patient benefit standpoint, everybody can understand the, if you have the right controls in place to make sure it's safe, the right policies in place to make sure that, you know, all boxes are being checked, all this does is give better access to everybody.
So I guess there must be something in the statutes or the law right now that allows for certain doctors to administer mm-hmm. in the office certain medications.
Administration is if it's getting placed into you while you're in the doctor's office,
like chemotherapy or something.
Yeah, completely different than something you take home with you.
Okay. Yeah, I knew. So I guess that's an interesting question. Have y'all looked at, have y'all actually run legislation through the state yet?
We have not. We've been supportive of organizations in Texas that have.
Oh, they have. Okay.
But nothing's really gone anywhere. There was a bill that made it out of both House and Senate subcommittees last session that... Just didn't get across the goal line.
You were amongst good company. I don't think much got across the finish line.
It's one of those clubs you don't want to be a part of, but we got very close last session. There was a bill on our end that the pharmacy board was comfortable with and had sent some revisions in. There were some, I think there was a lot of opportunity for folks to work together.
Yeah.
And it just ran out of time.
That was actually going to be my next question, as I'm assuming, and of course, you know, my background in healthcare and, worked a lot with the pharmacists and the pharmacies over the years, sometimes with them, sometimes against them. It depends. I was, working for a pharmaceutical manufacturer. You kind of hit all sides. But it sounds like that y'all came to some agreement, at least, in principle, if you had a piece of legislation that was getting through both houses, that's a pretty big step.
Yeah. And I wouldn't take, this is not an AS Meds bill that went through. This isn't anything we really could take much credit for. We're just helping to support it and to make sure folks know about it.
Okay. So it was coming from the physician side.
From the physician side. Yeah.
Okay. So that means that patients were really, must have been very much in support of it. So that's got to be it. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, there's a realization from all parties involved that it's harder for folks to get healthcare these days. So when you look at it from a straight patient access and patient benefit standpoint, everybody can understand if you have the right controls in place to make sure it's safe, the right policies in place to make sure that, all boxes are being checked. All this does is give better access to everybody. And, we're a company that came from pharmacists that still has a big pharmacy presence. We own and operate some of our own pharmacies. So there's not a conflict in our mind. All it's doing is giving more avenues to get folks the care that they need.
Has the change in the way, healthcare has changed so dramatically in the last 30 years, that's probably been a big part of why this is coming about, why people are very interested in this. And physicians, it seems like more and more physicians are part of groups now, and those groups are so big and sometimes a little unwieldy, and they have so much administration that something like the services, like being able to, dispense at the point of service is a really helpful for the amount of patients that they're seeing. Has that been one of the reasons why it's become a big deal?
Oh yeah. So one of the things that, we have a client that's started up with us in Florida, never dispensed before. And one of the main driving factors that they used to justify piloting a program, was they realized that their providers were spending up to 2 hours a week on the phone with the pharmacy for scripts that didn't come over, scripts that got lost, solving prior authorizations. So being able to pull that in-house not only saved patients time, but it saved them time too. They noticed net promoter scores once they brought it in went through the roof, and patient satisfaction scores went through the roof. So they rolled that pilot out. We have another group that's more in like the Rocky Mountain and then like the rural areas of the West Coast. So like rural Oregon, rural Washington. And they do have a presence in Texas. Actually, both of these clients do. They asked me the same thing. The group in the Rockies says, we started dispensing because we noticed that our folks would come in and they would get a prescription and it would be for an urgent care medication. So it'd be, you know, your Tamiflu, and you're in that critical period and you have to wait 3 days because the pharmacy's closed. So just giving the ability to get that increased access helps that, you know, it really helps the patients out.
You know, I can say, you know, I remember when I was first having kids, when you have little kids, babies, you're in the doctor's office like nonstop. And that is, if there's one thing that a parent really knows, is weekends are just hell. Mm-hmm. Because if baby starts getting sick around Friday, you know, and you have to wait, you know, and you can't see the doctor until maybe Saturday if they're open. We actually had one that did, but you may not be able, you know, hopefully they'll have something in their office that they can give you to hold you over. I mean, it's just a, you know, I really, you know, I think we've all lived it, right?
Oh yeah. I have a 5-year-old who got the flu. Ugh. Christmas Eve, we'd take her to the first appointment at an urgent care, and she was, and she's a rambunctious child, but she was, she was moving at, you know, 1/8 speed that day. You know, she needed to get oseltamivir, and we had to wait 4 or 5 hours for the only pharmacy in our part of Atlanta to open, you know, first in line, standing there. And, you know, it took quite some time to fill the prescription, but God bless that pharmacist for coming in on Christmas Eve to,
yeah, right.
You know, that's one of those things where something that took up my half of my day on Christmas Eve, and, you know, you could have started the healing process faster if dispensing had been allowed by Georgia. A doctor can dispense, but a mid-level can't. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, so even my home state
is patchwork all over the place. So, yeah. Is there any state out there that is a good example? Like, if you had to pick a couple of states or a state where mm-hmm. it's like a great example, like to choose from, what would that be?
Florida and Indiana. Yeah. Both of those
tell
states.
Us Florida.
both of those states are just phenomenal. I mean, it supports doctors as a business, it supports patients, and you know, there's other states. Colorado's good. California's very good. So Arizona. So it really isn't, it's not an issue that's aligned one way politically or the other. You know, Texas and Massachusetts are the ones with the two toughest laws. Generally on the pretty opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, Florida and California are generally on pretty opposite ends of the spectrum, but both are great for getting point of care dispensing into patients.
Texas is tough. It's just tough all around for every issue. I don't know why, but it is. It's just it's a tough state. You had mentioned when we were first talking that you had a short video that you might want to run, and kind of giving a little bit of a. Tell me about the video, and then we can run it and.
Sure.
For the audience.
So the video kind of goes over that, what the patient experience looks like that I described. So it's really a nice juxtaposition of sort of worst case scenario of you go to the doctor and then you have to wait to get your medications at a pharmacy, or you may decide to skip it altogether, versus how easy it is to get your meds right on site when you go see.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So you said it runs about a couple minutes?
Yeah, about 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at that.
For many people, visiting a health clinic is not the most convenient experience. Too often, people will wait to see a provider, sit through an appointment, and travel to a local pharmacy just to be told there's an issue with their prescription and to contact their provider. Now frustrated and confused, individuals are expected to manage their prescription or be left without their medication. However, AS Medication Solutions has a different approach. When you partner with ASM, you're able to improve the patient's experience by utilizing a fast and convenient medication solution known as in-clinic dispensing. But how does it work? Like other health clinics, a licensed provider will conduct a patient visit performing all necessary standards of care. The provider will then utilize their clinic's EMR to e-scribe the patient's medication. Once entered into the EMR, the licensed provider will select the clinic's in-clinic dispensing option. By selecting this option, the e-prescription will be sent to the in-clinic medication room, where a qualified clinic staff member will process, label, and bag the prescription. Once dispensed, the clinic staff member will hand the medication to the licensed provider, who will then confirm the medication's accuracy and physically deliver the medication to the patient, providing the patient with the opportunity to ask questions or voice any concerns about the treatment plan. Once the prescription is signed for and the patient fulfills their payment obligation, they will leave the clinic visit with their medication in hand, eliminating the need for an additional pharmacy visit. Fast, easy, convenient. AS Medication Solutions. Medication management made simple.
Well, that was fantastic. So that's exactly what you were talking about earlier about the patient experience.
Yeah, I think it just really does a nice job of showing that no matter who you are in that system, if you're the provider, if you're the patient, if you're the medical staff, there's frustration. One thing that I wish it showed that it didn't is the pharmacist. The pharmacist is also frustrated because, you know, pharmacies are getting understaffed. It's harder for them to keep open. You know, when I first started, there were over 75,000 pharmacies nationwide. It's down to 72,000. And then IQVIA, which is a research organization focused on pharma, estimates 1,080 pharmacies are going to close in 2024.
I'm not surprised. They are hurting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a whole lot of reasons for that. I don't know, you know, what the main reason is, but I know that they are looking for ways to try and help these independent pharmacies stay open.
Oh yeah, it's a release valve. So if you think of the simple things, a patient comes in for the flu. There's one medication you're going to give 90 whatever percent of the time.
Right.
I'm not a doctor, so don't quote the 90 whatever percent, but if it's something,
most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. So you can get that in the patient's hands and save the pharmacist that work. You've just taken 15 minutes off of their plate. Same thing for a patient who's stabilized on a heart medication or diabetes medication or something else like that. Obviously, there's always going to be complicated cases. Obviously, there's always going to be specialty medications, high-cost drugs, you know, certain medications that, like C2s we talked about earlier, oxy and hydro are legitimate drugs with legitimate purposes, probably shouldn't be stored in a doctor's office.
Yeah.
So you have those right places where you have a more integrated and symbiotic care team between the doctor and the pharmacist that can help relieve work from each other instead of just moving it back and forth and exacerbating it.
Well, there's no doubt if you ever go to a pharmacy, you know, they're just overwhelmed. My sister was a pharmacist. I have a lot of healthcare people in my family. My brother's a physician. But my sister was a pharmacist for 40 something years. And it was brutal. Towards the end of her career, I remember her just saying, this is just not what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, she had a great career, but it was overwhelming. And so I think these kinds of new services that you know, like ASM helps with the physicians and dispensing at the point of service is invaluable, particularly for any patient. Like, you know, if you're a patient, you probably feel like, yeah, I could have used that. And I really want to, you know, maybe down the road, as y'all get a little closer to the next legislative session, and you start developing, if you're going to be looking at another piece of legislation or a policy change or whatever, you know, I'd love to have you back on and talk about it, you know, get some ideas on, you know, where we are, who's doing what, and, you know, just keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the bigger challenges we have is most people, especially in Texas, have never heard of physician dispensing.
Right.
So it's a service, it's a benefit, it's something to make your life easier that you don't even know existed. So part of what we're doing and part of the reason we're spending so much time here is to help just get the word out that this is something that, you know, if you lived in Indiana or Florida or even Georgia, where the law is still a little tougher, you could have this benefit, and so could healthcare providers, but you simply don't have it in Texas. So as we're developing the groundswell, I'd love to get folks reaching out to us on either our LinkedIn page or through our website.
Yeah, give us your how to reach you.
Yeah, so if you look at A-S Medication Solutions, we're active on LinkedIn, and then our website is www.a-smeds.com.
Okay, we'll put that up on the screen so that we can show that to our viewers, and then glad you spelled that out for our listeners. So that'll be a good way for them to get more information about you guys and contact you.
Yeah. And you know, part of what we're doing is trying to get, you know, to get something done, you need a lot of people that are doing it. So we want to get a groundswell of providers who say, man, I could really use that to help my folks out and help my patients out.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, if you as time goes on, as you think about it, and if you find that there's another avenue of people that you'd like to tap into, you know, we do a lot of healthcare on this channel. It's really politics, but there's a lot of healthcare politics in Texas, and as you can tell, it's tough. You know, mm-hmm. any type of change we try to make here in Texas on healthcare, it's tough. You got a lot of people interested, a lot of interested parties. So maybe we can play a little role and help get the word out about physician dispensing.
Oh, I'd love that. I really appreciate it, Frank.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's great having you, and thank you for your service. And we look forward to having you again maybe a little bit later in the year.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Statehouse. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast today. If you like our program and you want to see more, please subscribe. Like it, share it with others. If you've got a comment, leave us a comment. Anything that makes us better, we appreciate. And we really appreciate, if you like it, to give us a 5-star review. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.